Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I was dancing so much I almost forgot to fade it out there. Woo.
Fade it out like the true 80s style.
So we had a few minutes to prep before this, and I thought, what's the most important kind of prep I can do? Well, Disco Glasses returns in this episode. So I try desperately to find a clip of a song that says, you got to get down and shake your disco butt, but I couldn't find it. So no disco butt shaking. Hey, it's Darkly Streamers. I'm the Dean, joined by He of the Dark Places, Dark Place Robert.
Morning, everyone.
It is evening, and we watched episode seven of The Sandman.
Was it six or seven?
I think it was seven. Oh. We're on episode seven. Okay. It was an odd number. It was a good one. And
as per the formula.
That's how it works, yeah. And, you know, I think that this episode was interesting because... So I liked most of them. But this one, I was like, oh, suddenly I feel like it's a real thing. Like, this is the story. This is the main story of the show. This is continuing on from the setup that was done in episode one. And now I retrospectively wonder if the rest was a weird nonsense aside.
Yeah, so everything before this was just kind of experimental, and you know, in terms of the comic books, it was just kind of a little bit of experimentation and quite episodic. You know, once a week, let's throw out some weird stuff. And I remember there was a number of just one-shot comics as well, like some bizarre things. I can't remember if this was actually Sandman or no, this was Sandman. It was one Sandman comic where there was all cats were larger than human beings and hunted human beings, but then all the humans got together and dreamt to the point where they became the dominant species. And there was a cat that was going around trying to encourage other cats to do the exact same back to humanity.
Okay, so weird things happen.
So there were, yeah, some of these comics get really weird. Just be happy there's not an episode of a bunch of cats.
I felt like episode one set up a big story that then just didn't ever happen. And now they're like, oh, hold on. We did like a few fun episodes of just random unrelated things. But remember that story that we promised like 6 weeks ago? Should we start that?
I guess, yeah. No, this is actually the first time when we have a linear story and it actually point A to point B to point C. And it actually it has development. And all of this stuff going on. It's not like two side-by-side stories happening, you know.
And we get the return, not just of Disco Glasses, but also we get the return of... The Raven!
How do you have a song for that thing?
It's ready. I've got the song ready. The Raven is back.
The Raven was awful. Like, I know the actor. I can't remember the actor's name right now. But I know the actor. And some of the things he's saying, it would have a lot more impact if he had hands. And he was able to do things. Like
a better actor.
Yeah, that too. You should be able to just act with your voice. Why wouldn't they get a proper voice actor?
Yeah, good point. There are people who are literally trained in that. Like, it's a different skill. Like,
it's a career. It's an actual profession.
I don't know. But anyway, I think a lot happens in this episode. So let's jump in. Somehow, magically, the Dream has repaired his realm. So he's in his realm and he's in a big fancy castle and it's all fixed. Okay, so I just feel that we should point that out. We didn't see it get fixed, but it's all fixed.
So we've always seen this chamber, what you call throne room. We've always seen this in its dilapidated state. Now it's just been repaired. You've got glass stained windows that are moving around in the background as well, which are lovely and all
We also have
that.
the return of the librarian, who goes around with a very large book, comically oversized, and performs a census.
Is it oversized? I thought it was quite
There's one
fat.
scene where it's very oversized. But yeah, she goes around and does a census, and my favorite moment, this is slightly out of place, but my favorite moment of the entire episode is when she says, I heard the rumors that there's a vortex. And he's like, oh, yeah, the rumors are true. Look up in the sky at all these crazy swirling things everywhere. It's like, oh, goodness. Yeah, now that you mention it, there's crazy swirling things everywhere.
You know, that was just a projection that
I
he was
know, but I
creating. It
love it.
wasn't
I
like
love it.
it's not like people are walking around not noticing the scenery. So yes, we're introduced to the concept of a vortex. It's never quite explained what a vortex actually is. It's just something to be feared, and it's actually a human being. It's a human girl, Rose Walker, that we've actually come across before in the series. As well as that, we're also introduced to everybody has returned to the dream except for three dreams. Dean, can you remember which ones they were?
Gold?
What?
Gold was one?
Oh no, I can't remember if gold was actually one
I
now.
feel
I've
like one was
forgotten.
gold, and that's the one that they think caused some trouble later. The third one I can't remember, but the second one was our good old friend Mother Flippin' Disco Glasses. And I love him so much.
It's such a problem. Like, the Sandman was about to, do something about him at the very start. He found him straight away. And now he's
Should I
just
wear
been
a
this.
hat? I feel like in respect of disco glasses, I should be wearing a hat to record the show, but I'm not. But just
No.
pretend that I am.
Please don't like disco glasses. He's not a good person.
First, you try to tell me that good guy John wasn't a good person just because of some massacring, and now this.
But he did massacre lots. And the Corinthian does go around. I also hate the fact that you've got me now calling him disco glasses instead of Corinthian. So yes, the three dreams, I don't think it's gold. I think they have a weird name for it. And now that I'm thinking about it,
Thought it was
I can't say
gold.
it.
And then I don't remember the third one. It doesn't matter. Just some
One
dreams.
is the green, it's just a forest. That's
Yeah, I mean,
just
let's
where
be
they all
honest.
wander off.
Really, we only care about disco glasses.
Yes. But the Sandman believes, or Morpheus believes, that he can actually use the vortex to find the three missing dreams.
Yes, we also get in a little aside, I'll just mention it because I might forget later because it's not really important. But as part of the census, we get the return of Cain and Abel just in like a little 30-second scene. She talks to one of them and he's like got his little gargoyle dragon thing. So for those of you who liked that
Holy.
episode, which was no one, that's back.
I liked that episode. I was very fond of them.
How do we start? Do we open with Rose? I can't remember. Like a lot happened.
Yes, we opened with Rose at a very young age. So Rose is having a conversation with her brother. Her mother walks in and says, there's some issue. Me and Rose are going to go ahead and leave the son behind. So Rose
Sad
has a
face.
brother, a mother, father, and a brother. Jed Walker? I'm not good with names.
Little boy, little boy.
The mother says that they're going to leave the boy with the father, and the mother and daughter are going to go off by themselves somewhere else, which is very sad. They're separating the family. The boy is very upset. Everybody's very, very sad. Then we go up in the clouds into this giant building body thing, which is it's not a building body. It's actually a body that is a building that represents desire.
Yes, we see desire, and despair.
Despair. So you're introduced to this new character. It's another one of the Endless. So they're twins, despair, desire, and despair. They actually
Not
go
gonna
hand in
comment
hand.
on despair because I don't have nice things to say.
Nobody has anything nice to say. Do you mean like from a physical appearance or
Yeah.
from just a feeling?
No, the feeling I'm fine with.
I don't think they're supposed to look overly
I know,
eyed.
especially in contrast with desire. Is there a weird bit with this with the face scratching?
Yes, whenever despair gets her hooks into you, then that's the kind of concept there.
So there's some
That's
emo stuff there.
yeah, it's just whenever you get stuck in this pit of unable to get out of the sensation of depression and all that, that's when despair gets her hooks into you.
But nothing really happens. You know, they just kind of say, we will make some kind of plan to do something about the dream. And that's it. Like
So there.
every episode, desire just appears. It's kind of like, eventually I will do something in the story, and then wait till next week.
Desire always comes up with some weird scheme. She desires entrap Dream. That's pretty much her entire shtick. So she's just kind of one of these annoying siblings that you have to be wary of and is
I
always
think she desires to
plotting.
be in the show. And
I
she's not
kind
in the
of.
show.
I All right. So I also think just from the actor, Mason Alexander Park. Is absolutely perfect for this part. I'm really happy with the casting on that.
Oh,
Like,
spot on. I think the actor's really, really good at this.
they're amazing. And in particular, this scene, just the way they move around the place and they do everything, they're just wonderful. So anyway, we have this weird meeting between despair and desire and imported senses, and then back to Rose Walker. Rose Walker's
She's
in
now
her
older,
apartment.
and we can distinguish young from old because she's dyed some bits of her hair. So that's the easy way to
Yeah,
remember. Young
because
Rose, plain hair. Older Rose, colors.
okay. As well as that, there is a small little facet that because she's a vortex, she ages slower.
Right.
Didn't know that.
We figured out at the end that she's the vortex, so there's the spiders.
I mean, it's they're talking about this vortex. Her face appears in the ceiling of this
Well, I
chapel.
didn't realize it was her face. I just thought it was a glowing face.
And then we're also introduced to Rose. Who else is it going to be? There's no other characters. It's not going to be a big
Well, look
plot.
at you putting the two threads together in
It's
this story.
just. So, anyway, huge story. Rose, it's all very shoehorned. It's very quick. It's like they wanted to do exposition without doing exposition. They knew that don't tell me, show me that general rule and all of that stuff.
It's as if they said, oh my goodness, we had 10 episodes worth of content and 10 episodes to put them into, but we just faffed around for the last 5 episodes, doing nice stories, but completely irrelevant. And then they're like, hey guys, we've got 4 episodes left to do this story arc. Oh God, okay, here's the main character. We're introducing her in episode 7. Cram, 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 cram,
You
cram.
know, I like it because it's quick and it's punchy like a comic book, and they didn't just decide, right, let's take some source material and then shoving a load of our own stuff. And they're kind of getting on with the story as well. So it's nice. There's a lot that happens. Turns out Rose Walker's grandmother, great grandmother, was the character from the very start of the show who went into this sleep paralysis or this endless sleep whenever the Sandman was first captured.
Yes. So
Turns out
it's
she's
tricky
loaded.
because they could have done this over several story, you know, several episodes, but basically they're just like, yep, go see this lady who wants to talk to you. It's about a job thing, and then it's not. It's like, I'm your great granny. Hugs.
They could have done this like over the course of the entire series. Like,
Yeah.
this could have been stuff that's just happening slowly in the background from the very start, but they're just like, oh, yeah, this person.
And then we added in some extra material. Because the granny's like, by the way, we've only just met, so you've got no real attachment to me. But I'm just this old lady and I don't have any other relatives. And also, I'm really rich, so I guess if I die, you'll get all of those. And the girl's like, oh, I really do need some money and a job. And we're just like, yeah, so stab, stab, stab.
I think it was we both came up with that exact same. I think we shouldn't be trusted around our elderly relatives ever.
No, she doesn't stab her. She employs her, and then we had another scam. So she employs her to go and look for her brother. And it's like, so she finds the brother, she's now unemployed again. Like, can she just run this scam for several years of like looking for the brother, but she's already got him?
I don't think that's how that works. I think, you know, that she could find him and then go back to England and live in the posh house.
Is she getting paid by the hour? That's what I want to know.
No. No,
pay you by the hour to find your brother. It's like, well, I guess I'm gonna start out all the way over in, Jamaica or something. Like, there's no record that he was ever there, but just head over there for a few weeks,
I need
holiday.
some expenses paid for.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she ends up going directly to Florida with all of this financial backing, and then we can actually get on with the story with all of this backlog put in.
But we
You
do get
didn't
a
like.
posh house. We do get a posh house with a posh sort of, well, he's not a butler, but he gives that vibe. Posh welcoming chap who brings them in. And he just works there, I guess. But it's a kind of home for the elderly. And her, oh my God, the granny's wallpaper is so nice. Lovely, lovely wallpaper with little flowers and birds on it.
I thought it
The
was a bit
episode's worth
much.
watching just for that.
I thought it was a bit much.
Yes.
Anyway, let's jump forward to Florida. I feel like I'm doing a lot of describing. You do a little bit now.
Well, they go to a B&B and
You hated it.
I didn't like the B&B because first of all they meet Ken and Barbie. So we should mention it's kind of a doll's house, and there's this the episode's called Doll's House, and there's this theme, and it turns out that they'd had the granny had had a doll's house, and it's lovely, elaborate big doll's house when she was younger, and we see that. But now they meet Ken and Barbie. And like this was horrendous because this is a B&B. These aren't old friends or anything. They're like, "Howdy, neighbor. Yeah, we're so friendly and American. Yeah. Would you like to have dinner with us?" No, I wouldn't. Please never speak to me again. Please never, never speak to me again. And they're just like, "Yeah, let's hang out. We're best friends. We've been in B&B together for approximately 3.5 minutes." I
Okay,
hate it.
can I just throw across, right? You would hate to be in that situation. Do you think I would like to be in that situation, though?
You might.
I would love to be in that situation.
Then they meet two little Addams Family girls, and they're little goth girls with the veils and everything, and they like speak in, do they speak in unison or one whispers to the other and only one of them
Well,
speaks?
only one of them speaks and the
Yeah,
other
there's
whispers.
weird things.
And it's pointed out, it's like they have no idea what the relationship is, if they're sisters, partners, mother, daughter. It's
No
just
one
never
knows.
explained.
There's an interesting guy who reads books in the attic that we don't meet till later. And then there's the main guy who's also a bit odd, but that's what we learn from the house, and they're all friendly. They're just like, "Yeah, we all are really friendly, and I hate it so much." And just don't be happy or enthusiastic.
I'm like, why? They're just friendly, and they're all kind of, it'd be fun to go to Florida and meet people, and then they take you out. They take Rose out in the evening.
What on earth was that? Right, if you went to somewhere in the U you're in England right now. I just visited you, by the way. If you went, I don't know why
Don't
I'm telling you that as though you didn't realize.
give listeners my location.
Yeah, England, they'll zoom right in on you.
Finding an Irishman in England.
If you went and immediately everyone was like, it wouldn't happen in England. Like, you wouldn't go to a B&B and just like, "We're taking you out tonight." It's like, well, who are you? And why? Are you going to kill me? Do you have a knife? Like, this is bizarre behavior.
No, but I mean, like, this is not something to be admired or to strive for.
Okay. I'll allow it because Barbie had nice hair. So, oh, and we should mention actually, pivotal moment is that there's a kind of friend, neighbor, guardian type person of Rose who is just gorgeous, has really nice hair and a nice blouse. So she's not really relevant, but there is a bit where she talks to her dead husband, and we don't realize that he's dead, and they're just having a conversation on the plane. And he's like, "Are you all right?" And she's like, "I don't think so, because I'm here talking to my dead husband," and then he's not there anymore. It's like, oh, right. That was quite cleverly done.
Yeah, no, I did really like that. Oh, that's so sad.
But
They actually go
anyway.
into a lot more detail in that.
Basically, they're now in the B&B, and they go to watch the main guy do a kind of singing performance, a kind of like drag singing performance. And I think they were like, "Oh God, this episode is running a little bit under," because they weren't just like, "Let's show like a 30-second clip." It's like, "Can we just put the whole 5-minute song in? Can we just
They
show
paid
the
for the
whole
song.
thing?"
They paid for the song, so they're going to get they're going to get their money's worth.
Yeah, we get
No,
all of that. Don't worry, like, rush all that nonsense with the granny. That like could have taken an entire series.
it
Rush all of that, but then have an entire 5-minute song in the middle of the episode.
very important, and the little dances as well, and the little movements and all of that stuff.
Yes, it was
We've also
fine.
we've skipped over a part. She went to some office, did she?
Well, there is a bit, I
Very
don't know if
true.
it's before or after, but she goes to a kind of, I guess it would have been like an agent. Was it the adoption agency, I guess? She goes to try to find her brother anyway, and she asks, and they basically say, look, if you get your brother, you know, he's a 12-year-old boy, you're now 18, you don't really want responsibility of raising him, so we're not going to help you.
What do
But
you call
also,
that
he's missing his way.
organization? Who's in charge of looking after the welfare of children?
Social services?
I guess. Yeah, okay. I guess
But
it was.
we find out afterwards that the boy's missing anyway. So they're just like, we're not going to help you. And
No,
it's
they know.
like, have you cleverly disguised the fact that you're unable to help?
No, it's he's not missing. He's missing. So this is explained in the dream that he's missing from the dream. They
And from
can't the
her,
sign. The
but
sand
not
plant
from
can't.
them.
He ran. We come to him at the end of the episode where he's actually just running away from his foster parents.
I thought that was a flashback.
No, that was
Right.
that's what's currently happening. He's in an awful situation where he's just being abused, and social services are just like, yeah, no, he's grand. Don't worry about it. They don't know.
Right. Well, there we go. That's not good. So we might as well cover that when we've, now that we've got to it. But yeah, he's trying to run away, and the adoptive mum, I guess, or whoever it is, foster mum finds him, and she's like, maybe I'll run away with you. And then the husband pulls up, he's like, get in the boot of the car, I have a big gun. And everyone's like, oh no, and that's the episode over, and he's really
Yeah, no, that's that storyline is awful. Like I hate it so much.
you think Americans are watching it and be like, oh, he's really mean to them? He does have that gun though, maybe he's not so
No, I think
bad.
Americans actually watch it and think like, no, that's not a good thing to be putting a child in a boot.
Okay, I hope so, because sometimes I don't know.
See, I remember, right, I remember when I was a kid, I would have loved to have been put in a boot.
Yeah, but he was
It's just
also about to
something.
be locked in the cellar, he found out, so that's less
Oh
fun.
yeah. Well, that's maybe it wasn't a fun time for him.
No, it wasn't.
So sorry to jump forward to the end of the
But
episode there. That was
that's
that
that
was
bit taken
that's pretty
care of.
much Jed's entire storyline. And while all of this is happening, his sister's at a drag show. Anyway.
Yeah, doing, you know, they're doing the real work. But she goes outside and she gets attacked. Let's just cut to the chase. And it's
Well,
interesting
sorry.
because
It's it's a it's just amazing. She goes into an alleyway for like 2 seconds and gets mugged.
yeah,
It's just
so
what happens in comic books.
accidental accomplice though, because there's a guy going out for a smoke and he has the back door open and she nips out on the phone and he's like, well, I guess I'm just gonna lock this door up and leave her out there in the alleyway. And then immediately two guys appear to mug her. It's like that turned very quickly. It was like a nice place with employees 30 seconds ago, and now you're in an alley on your own with muggers. I don't know how this happened.
Well, the guy was out for a smoke. He finished his cigarette
Locked
and then
her
he
out.
went back inside.
And then she tries to fight the guys, and all of a sudden, a lovely gentleman pops in with his little spectacles and a little sword and a hat and cloak, and he's dashing and lovely. And then he's also Stephen Fry.
With a mustache, and it's a sword cane, and it's my favorite scene in the entire
It
thing. When I
is
found out,
brilliant. He's her
it's just
upstairs neighbor.
it's perfect casting. It is just he was born for the role. Whenever they wrote this part in the comic books back way back when, this was who they had in mind.
Right. It was perfect. And we find out that he's the guy upstairs who reads. And then they think, wow, my friends and everyone from the house and like my guardian, they're all inside still. Guess we'll just head on.
Oh yeah, they just
And
ditch
they just leave.
everybody.
They don't tell anyone, like, oh, we're just leaving. He's like, we got mugged and now we're heading on home. They're just like,
Oh, I
yes.
wouldn't mind, but they contemplate calling the police and they're just like, nah.
Yeah, she's like, no, let's not call the police. I just want to get home. And he's like, yep, cool.
It's like, but I suppose she did smash one of them with a bottle.
She did, but also, she takes this whole thing, like she goes to a house and everyone's super friendly from day one. And it's like, well, here's Ken and Barbie. And then the singing transvestite, and then this weird Stephen Fry reading man, and then these characters from the Addams Family who whisper to each other. Cool. Guess this is all just normal then. She's not even like, "What's? Where am I?" She's like, "Yep,
So,
checks out."
from the story's defense, let's also remember there was a scene in her great grandmother's house where she walked into the closet. She didn't know it was a closet at the time. She walks into a room and it's all lovely lit up, whatever. And there's the three
Fates
fates.
again, yeah.
So she's constantly just bombarded by weird nonsense.
That's true. That's true.
She is the vortex. She experiences dreams in reality, and everything seems quite dreamlike in this situation. So
So
even Ken and Barbie, it's weird.
it is, and we find out that she's the vortex. The librarian talks to the dream about this near the end. We should mention that the Raven is here, and they send him to kind of like see what's going on with her, like go and look into what's happening with the vortex. And then the whole episode gets derailed by a stupid pumpkin on a stick.
No, I liked him.
Stupid
His little
walking,
stop.
talking CGI pumpkin boy.
Okay, that's the only thing that annoys me. It's not actual stop start animation. Or it might be. I don't think it is.
We didn't need it. It was terrible. He's not important, but it's just like, why? Why is he here? And
I like him.
then the Raven says, yes, she's over here, but we can't find the brother. And the librarian just opens the book nearest her on the page it happens to be at, is like, yep, I can't find him either. That's I've exhausted all my resources. This
But
what it wasn't in this one paragraph, so
you don't want to waste your time that far.
And then she talks to the dream about it, and the dream sits on some stairs with a lovely long cloak just flowing beautifully over the steps, at repose while she explains things. And then Rose just walks in, is like, somehow I am here, and talk to me about my brother, please. I am the vortex.
Dun, 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 dun. So she's able to enter into the dream's palace and actually interact with the dream, which is a bit of a bizarre one. That must be really annoying from the dream's point of view. Like you're just trying to get about your business and then a kid keeps popping up.
Yeah, I guess. There is a so. I mean, I don't think there's anything else to say about Rose. It is quite rushed. I know it feels like we rushed it, but it was rushed. But it was good, you know.
Yeah.
There is a side story we'll get to in a moment, but I think that's everything from Rose, really.
It's really set up nicely, the next few episodes. They're a bit grim, I suppose, in a lot of ways. So it's very much dark fantasy all around.
Well, there's a friend of Rose's who's house sitting for her. And knock on the door, knockety knock knock. Is Rose here? Oh, who are you? Oh, I'm Disco Glasses, and I'm looking for Rose. Right. Would you like to have sex? That'll do. And this is what happens. It's brilliant. They just Disco Glasses, you're a very attractive chap.
It's not quite that simple. Like there is a bit of flirtation. It's not just like
No, he's just
somebody
like, would you
offers
like to come
somebody
in
like
and
a
wait
cup
for her? Yeah, he's like, I'm a headhunter. I'll come on in then and see what we can do for you. And this is what happens. And then afterwards, now they presumably sleep together without ever removing his glasses. And it's only afterwards the guy's like, do you want to do it again, but this time take off the glasses? And he starts kissing his neck, and then the Corinthians is like, nah, I'm bored with you. He just pushes him away and walks out. I love
He
it.
was a little bit preoccupied because of what was on his phone. So this is actually something I wanted to discuss. This is there was a group of three people.
Yes.
It is
Idiots.
not clear what they actually are, what they're talking about. Even when I was reading the comics, I remember being really confused by these guys and then watching the
Assumed they
show.
were demons. They're calling themselves collectors and they're hosting a conference because, of course, they are. And they want a keynote speaker and they would like the Corinthian. And then they think, well, we can't get him. And they talk about these other options. And then they say, well, maybe if we emulate the Corinthian, he will, come to us. So they rip out the waiter's eyes.
Yep, so it's a copycat murder. It's a bit weird. I think they expected us to put two and two together and realize there's only three dreams on the loose. One of them is accounted for. It's not going to be one
It's
of
they're
these
not the
three.
dreams. Yeah, I thought it was just some kind of miscellaneous demons. Like, I wasn't really sure. But then the dream appears, and he's like, hello, I'm Disco Glasses. You have got my attention. And I'm like, okay, cool. He says, so now tell me why I shouldn't kill you. Now, I do like that as a way to introduce yourself to people. Like, hello there, you've got my attention. Why should I not kill you? It's like, well, was that in the cards?
Don't think people should go around introducing that.
Didn't say they should, I just said it was an option. So then they say, well, and they're just stupid, such stupid, stupid people. They're just like, well, we decided to mess with like an actual real demon thing, in order to get a speaker for our conference.
So they don't know that he's actually, they just think he's a serial killer.
They're doing a conference of serial killers, and that's worse.
How is that worse? That they just they're messing around. They think the Corinthian is just like he's one of a line of a long line of
Yeah, they
Corinthians.
refer to him as the current Corinthian because he's not 100 odd years old. So they realize, like, oh, this is the current one. There's some succession. It's worse because they're like, do you know what's a sensible and rational thing to do for the preservation of our own being? Why don't we get all of the serial killers in the same room with us?
It makes for a very interesting episode later on. But it is, they are just terrible people. And this is kind of the antagonist group at
And
this
they are
point.
a pretty girl, a fat nerdy guy, and an old nerdy guy. And I don't really like the guys.
You shouldn't like any of them.
Well,
They're all serial killers. The fact that the fat nerdy guy is just appalling.
yes, we notice that he's particularly bad. And they refer to, like, oh, the waiter's 16, is he too old for you? And things like that, which is a bit creepy as well.
He, now the actor as well, it's like as I always it's always a mixed feeling whenever an actor succeeds in making you hate them so much. But this guy does such a good job at acting on that front because I just it's like I just want to hit him. But
Well,
also
you
you're just
know,
doing your job.
I'm just happy. Look, with the librarian's back, the raven's back, the disco
Pumpkin
glasses is
Man's back.
back. It's like everything. Who?
Pumpkin Man.
Aww. But, you know, even Cain and Abel make a brief appearance. It's kind of like, oh, we're actually back in the story. Like, I like that. Even though we're doing a lot of new stuff with Rose, you know, it's. I like it.
It's kind of like everything we saw up to this point wasn't just a massive waste of time. Even though
Yeah,
suppose none of it is relevant anymore, or it was concluded.
I
But it's a much more linear story. It makes more sense.
the next few episodes now to finish the season are gonna be linear-ish and follow on with that story, right?
I hope so.
We hope
I can't
so.
remember.
Oh no! All of a sudden, just no, none of those characters appear again for two more episodes.
The Raven has his own episode where he just talks for an hour.
Oh no. And you know, to their credit, the Raven is back. They don't mention why he was missing last week, but he doesn't say that much. Even though he does a few things, he was very tolerable. It's almost like they said, oh no, we put the damn Raven in the show. We've got to put him in it again. And they just, for one week, they're just like, we'll leave him out. Nobody notice. There's a
I
lot going
think
on.
the only two things I remember the Raven saying from this point onwards, one of them really annoyed me, and then the other one was just, I thought it was actually funny. I really appreciated the Raven at that point. But so I guess there's something to look forward to in
He says
that.
a funny line when the pumpkin head says, like, look for something strange. And he's like, well, we've got pumpkin head man talking to a talking bird, so you're gonna have to give me more information on what kinds of strange. And I like that.
Fair
But you know,
enough.
he was tolerable. And I really think the writers were kind of like, you know, we've gonna put this flipping pumpkin back in. We got away with it last week, but not the pumpkin, the raven, sorry, we'll put him back in, but maybe just make him tolerable. Like, maybe just don't let him say too much.
He's grand. I don't know. I think that's pretty much the entire episode. It was
Yeah.
very short, it was very rushed, but enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. I like the story with Rose. It's nice to see the librarian again. You know, the Fates pop up from time to time. I don't really know what the deal is with them. They just, you know, we're not sure yet. Desire keeps popping up. There are some little bits and pieces that are presumably weaving a thread for later, but it's nice to see a main story taking, you know, taking shape. And it's also nice to see Disco Glasses shaking his disco bat. Quite literally, actually.
When?
Well, I don't know what they were getting up to in that
Oh, okay, fair enough. Not taking off his glasses, apparently.
Not taking off his, which is very strange. Like, with the guy, you know. The guy had never mentioned it. He's like, come in, we'll have a chat, we'll get to business. And not once will I even suggest you remove your glasses, you know. We'll just go.
I think that's quite admirable. Somebody doesn't want to take off their glasses. It's like, okay, it's okay. You just you don't do anything that you don't feel uncomfortable doing.
I was just glad that disco glasses didn't kill him and take out his eyes, to
I
be
think he was
honest.
building up to that if he didn't look at his phone.
Oh, and then he got the news that someone was pretending to be him. Yeah.
Oh, I am angry now. I don't have time for you. That's so dismissive. Could you imagine, like, being told, I don't have time to murder you. I just, you're not that important.
It was fortunate, but I did like that the guy was continuing to caress him, and he just looked at his phone and just pushed the guy away and left. I thought that was amazing. He's like, oh, kind of, all right then.
Well, so just sit here and...
But that's it, right? I think we covered it all.
Yeah, no, that's everything.
Cool. We are being sued for saying constantly, have a sleepy day. Turns out that some of the listeners are operating heavy machinery and ought not to have a sleepy day. So please don't do that, chaps.
So have better dreams now.
But also, have a sleepy day.
Sweet dreams, everyone. All right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.